Welcome everyone to the Success Circle Business Accelerator Call. This is Lisa Menini with Accelerate Associates, and welcome, welcome, welcome everyone. If this is your first Business Accelerator Call, what this call is all about is it happens every second Tuesday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And what we talk about in the Business Accelerator Call is we dive a little bit deeper into the Entrepreneurial Edge system or an aspect of it, and how to systematize and monetize your business in all areas of your business, as well as mastering your inner entrepreneur and executing your business blueprint. If you just joined us, and make sure, by the way, you mark your calendars and use that recurring feature on your calendar to mark off this time at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you happen to miss it, remember that it is available usually within 24 hours in the Success Circle under the Audio Library tab of the Success Circle membership site, and also we send you a copy, a CD copy in the mail, so you can review it as part of your mobile library at any time. Let's get started with some of the upcoming events. I want to flag you to the Get Your Goals in Gear. What a perfect time of the year. That's going to be on December 19th at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. It is going to be recorded, so if you do miss it or have to miss a portion of it, remember you will get the recording. And it's also going to be replayed on January 2nd after the new year. We want to make sure that you get your goals in gear. The part we're going to focus on for Success Circle members is we're going to focus on the goals, the objectives, the action items, help you get really clear on those items. We aren't covering all of the blueprint, just that area on the webinar, because that webinar, while it is free to Success Circle members, so remember, it is free to Success Circle members, so you would have gotten an email, a special code to put in there, and again, that code is SC Benefit, like Success Circle, SC Benefit, B-E-N-E-F-I-T, and you can use that to get into the webinar. And remember, you can register at accelerateassociates.com/get-your-goals-in-gear. And there's hyphens between all of those. So get your goals in gear, and you can register there. So remember to do that. You can select either December 19th or January 2nd on which webinar you want to attend. So just my way of saying thanks for being a Success Circle member. And feel free to share the registration page, accelerateassociates.com/get-your-goals-in-gear, with hyphens between those words, to your social online community, too, if you have any business owners that really need to get their goals in gear. So let's get started without further ado. Again, if you just joined us, welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator Call. And today I have a very special guest. You're going to love her. I know I do. She is the best-selling author and success coach, Marilyn Suttle, and she is also the best-selling author, co-author of Who's Your Gladys. She specializes in creating subtle shifts in the way professionals think and act so they produce massive results. She's also a leading authority in service excellence, business and personal relationships, and content marketing for online communities. She's been sourced as an expert by Ladies Home Journal, Corp Magazine, Inc. Magazine, U.S. News, and World Report, to name a few. TV News has featured her advice on communication and leadership, and after working with Marilyn, her clients have won industry awards, raised customer satisfaction levels, and have gotten lasting results in reducing stress and experiencing greater success and self-fulfillment. Now, company leaders have made her presentations available to thousands of employees, improving their quality of life and passion to excel in their professions. So, Marilyn, welcome to the Success Circle Call.
Lisa, thank you for having me. I'm so
good.
Happy to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. And I know that some of the things you're going to focus on is really going to be transformational. Like, I know we're going to talk about how to shift in focus to increase profits shift to banish burnout, shift in how people view mistakes. And I think that's a really big one for entrepreneurs, as well as how to short-circuit that self-sabotage and really look at your own personal power. So I'm really excited to have you here today. Like, let's first, though, explain, what is a subtle shift? How does it produce better results rather than taking quantum leaps? Because you hear that all the time. Take a quantum leap. So you talk about subtle shifts. What is that?
Well, here's the thing. We think we need massive change to get the results we want. And it might even be true. And I'll speak from a very personal perspective first for anyone on the call who's ever wanted to lose 5 pounds or 50. I was there. I wanted to lose a good 20 pounds at one point. And to make a quantum leap toward that kind of health would mean changing how I ate, how I exercised, all of that. And there was every part of my being that was saying no, no, no. Mm-hmm. The resistance was really strong because we as human beings are hardwired to resist massive change. It equals danger in our brain chemistry. So what I've discovered through Hard Knocks is that when you make a simple shift, and it could be as simple as a shift in the way you believe or look at something, you open the door for massive change to happen. And for me specifically, and I'll go to the weight issue, mm-hmm. I swear, Lisa, I was one of those people who, I'm envious of people who like to exercise. I wish I was like that. I swore I was allergic to exercise.
Which, by the way, I've got to say, you know, you have done an absolutely amazing job on reshaping your shape. You really did. I mean, when you put your mind to it, you really did have results. So I just want to give those acknowledgement in acknowledging you for doing that.
Well, thank you. And I used subtle shifts to get there. I used the small incremental shifts in the way I was thinking about it. And speaking of that, I was at one of your wonderful events, which are, you know, just, I'll talk about transformational. Mm-hmm. And one of your attendees had said, yeah, you know, you were getting pretty big. Thank you. You're right, I was. I love people that are direct and will just say what the truth like a 2-year-old would tell you, you know?
Yeah.
But it came to, I had a coach who suggested that I lose some weight and get in better shape. I had a doctor who said, you could do this. And I had a nutritionist who I had a conversation with and said, I totally believe you could do this program. And the only one who didn't believe it was me. Mm-hmm. So I played with one small shift. I acted as if I believed it. And I started just daily thinking, what if I believed in it? I do believe it. I could do that. I'm just choosing not to, but I could. And within 2 weeks, that took root, and it went into a solid belief, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, I had success. So it was a small thing, because if anybody had tried to force me to have a personal trainer grinding me to the ground, I would not have done it.
Mm.
Now let's fast forward to business, because that's why we're here. Imagine having breakthrough profits. Imagine having a book, a best-selling book on your topic of expertise, the best business card you could ever have. Those things happen not through massive change that stresses you out and makes you even more crazy than you're busy than you already are, but through the small, tiny, incremental shifts mm-hmm. done over and over time.
Right. Now, what's, you know, I want to talk to you about the subtle shifts that entrepreneurs can make to increase profits, but I also want to know, because, I mean, this is really timely. People are overeating right now, and, you know, you made a subtle shift first by believing that it was possible.
Right.
But what got you to that? Because I know you exercised.
Mm,
well, literally, you exercised your butt off, right?
I truly did, because I had a big one.
You really didn't, but you got in such shape. How did you make that shift? Was it that simple? You just said, I could do this, and you got into an exercise routine?
Well, you have to create an environment that will support it. So here's where I did it. First, the belief came first. You can't do anything long-term without the belief in place.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is I needed a short-term goal, and I picked a 90-day. I think anybody can handle something for 90 days. It's not too short where it's over and you don't see results, but it's not so long that you feel like you're trapped forever. So it was a 90-day commitment, 6 days a week. And the big aha for me is I kept waiting for it to be convenient. And one of the biggest shifts I made was to take on the belief that it's not going to be convenient and it doesn't have to. If I can't get up at 6 o'clock and do my workout, if I have to wait till I get home at 10 p.m. at night and that's what time it is, it may be inconvenient, but I can exercise at 10 o'clock if I have to. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be convenient, and you have a set amount of time and accountability. That was the other piece. Accountability, and for some people it might be an accountability buddy that you tell them, yep, I did it. But for me, I don't know if you were the kind of kid that liked to get stars on your paper mm-hmm. when you were in elementary school. Mm-hmm. I loved that. Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, I had a chart, and it would put an X every day that I did my workout. And I love clicking off that X. So I gave myself some rewards and some accountability. I'd step on the scale. And I didn't care what the weight it was. I just wanted to know, is what I'm eating and what I'm doing, how is it affecting me? Because I found that certain things, like white potatoes, no matter how well I ate or how much I exercised, I'd go up a half pound if I ate white potatoes. Mm. So I learned what my body was doing with what I was eating. Mm-hmm. It was step by step, inch by inch.
Wow, that's great advice. Great advice. So let's make that shift to entrepreneurs. Now, how can they, what subtle shift can entrepreneurs make to increase profits?
Okay, this is a big one. It's a subtle shift in focus. Not a big, massive change because you're busy. You've got too much on your plate as it is. I know the life of an entrepreneur. Not only do I have it, mm-hmm. my mother was an entrepreneur for years. She just retired 2 years ago. Wow. At 90 years old, she retired.
Oh, my goodness.
She loved what she did. But my father, growing up, he had his own business. So I've lived the life from birth of a business owner. I get how your focus has to be on everything, but it also has to be laser sharp to have anything happen, and you can get very, very confused about where to put your focus. And just to illustrate, and this happened 2 days ago, I was on the telephone calling for some banking matter, and you know how you get those voices that tell you, you will be approximately 12 minutes till the next call. Like, oh, 12 minutes, what am I going to do for 12 minutes? Mm-hmm. And I happened to see an appliance sitting there. My son had made one of those sandwiches out of a sandwich maker that was this very nice stainless steel sandwich maker covered in burnt cheese. You know, it was like completely encrusted, and it was neglected, and nobody ever has time, and it's a low priority. And I thought, well, I've got 12 minutes. I'm going to clean this thing. Now, you're wondering, what does this have to do with profits? It has everything to do with your profits. So I was standing there with a cleaner, and I was doing these wide sweeps for about 3-4 minutes, seeing absolutely no progress. And I was getting frustrated, thinking, oh, let's just put it away, forget about it. And I thought, no, let me corner in on this one little area. And I zeroed my focus, and I just rubbed elbow grease on that one little corner for about a minute, and it got clean. And then you feel that little taste of success, so you move on to the next corner and the next corner. In 12 minutes, when that call came through, the cover was clean and shiny. Mm-hmm. But you might think that success. It wasn't, and here's why. When I went to put this contraption away, I opened it, and the inside was a filthy mess. It was full of crumbs and from having many sandwiches made on the inside. And so you might think, look at all the focus I put, even concentrated focus, to make it look good rather than function well. Mm. And as business owners, we put a lot of gloss on the outside. Not that we don't need some of that. We do. We need to market. We need to have a nice presence and everything. Right. But unless your focus, a small piece of zeroed in time on the thing that makes you most profitable, is so important that it takes precedence over the other things. Yeah. So that you have a concentrated period of time daily that you are doing the things that create the most impact on your profits. That's the shift. Mm. And to celebrate it when you've done it.
Yeah, and I agree too that sometimes looking at all the shiny stuff, or we say, oh, we got to put this on, and we look at all the stuff that needs to go, whether it's on a website or whatever, but yet keeping it really simple or keeping it super simple, as I refer to it as, can really set you free, because it's simple is better and helps keep you focused and, like you said, that functionality, right?
Right. And you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. So really, either deciding what is the goal, what is the most profitable use of my time in this period. And I love the 90-day period because it's small enough. And this is what happened. For years, I wanted to write a book. And that was a desire, and I didn't have time, and I had to learn how all that happened. So I decided one year, 2007, to write a blog that was manageable. I could fit that in. It wouldn't take away from my profits and the things I needed to do, but it added in. And eventually, step by step, I learned how to get an agent. I learned how to do a book proposal, and we sold the book. So step by step.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people look at, oh, gee, there's not enough time. I think you and I know it's not about time. It's about how you're managing your time. But what shift can business owners make to banish burnout? Because that can be so easy to get overcommitted, overloaded, a lot on your plate because you have a high sense of urgency to get it done, and you take on too much. So what is that subtle shift for getting everything done but banishing burnout?
Okay, those who are listening may have to sit down to hear this one because it's going to blow their doors off, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we as business owners have almost a sense of pride about how hard we work. And we work hard and we get results. And we work in ways that somebody who would never want to be a business owner could never even understand. And so here's the way to get really profitable and banish burnout, is to understand the reality that is often hidden from our view, and that is this. People pay more money for the person who looks well cared for and rested than the person who's haggard and stressed out. Therefore, you know, if you take care of yourself, self-care is good for business. Is a mind-blowing thought because we think working hard is good for business. But if you had two entrepreneurs, you interviewed them both, and you had a $1 million contract you were going to give to one or the other, would you give it to the person who looked stressed out, tired, and worn? Or would you give it to the person who had bright eyes, enthusiastic, and seemed to really be passionate about what they were doing?
Rested and sharp and,
And therefore, that means that little self-care, because, of course, you know, you do have 60 hours of work that you're trying to put into 40. So what if you did very small things to create a sense of self-care? And I'll share one in particular. I encourage my clients to make a list of 25 things they love to do. Really small, really, you know, just to write it down. What do you love to do? My husband did the list, and one of the things he loved is music. He loved listening to 70s music. It's his favorite era. And he used to be in bands. He just loved music. And it had all but disappeared from his life. He was busy. He was working. He just didn't have time for any of that. So what he did is he bought one of those, he took all his vinyl records and he recorded them into MP3s. He got one of those little machines that convert them. And he started listening to music while he worked. He listened to music while he drove. And in the morning when he'd get up and ate breakfast, he would pull out his guitar and play a little bit not while he was eating breakfast, but watching the news. We're talking maybe 5 minutes of time playing that guitar, shifted his mood, put him in a relaxation mode, because our bodies chemically react to things that relax us. So it put his body in rest and repair and made him more vibrant, very small, 5 minutes a day. Music in the background, took no time away from his work, and yet it was a sense of self-care that made him feel great. For me, as we're talking, I'm looking around my office. I have a beautiful marshmallow candle burning that smells wonderful. It gives a beautiful light to the office. I feel nurtured when I look at that. It's a small thing. It's not taking any of my time, but it's self-care.
That's a great idea. That is a really great idea, just to put your favorite scented candle in your office. That's a great idea.
Right. And in your car. You know, when you're listening to these success circle interviews in your car, you're nurturing your mind. You know, you can create a rolling library of entertainment, of education, rather than being stressed out by the traffic.
Great idea. Or just a little waterfall. You know, they have those portable waterfalls now, or
yes,
something like that. Yeah, those are great ideas.
Yeah.
You know, so many business owners really beat themselves up when they make mistakes, because sometimes those mistakes can be costly. You see it all the time, wasted energy, wasted time on, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or, you know, I should have listened to her, shoulda, and they should on themselves, right?
Yeah.
So do you have a subtle shift for dealing with mistakes?
I have a huge subtle shift.
Subtle.
It's so small that it seems inconsequential, but I want to share this. I spent a year and a half interviewing the best of the best companies, from Singapore Airlines, who people will pay up to 20% more for a ticket to go on that airlines than other airlines because the service is so amazing, to Paul Reed Smith Guitars that sells $40,000 guitars and has a waiting list to sell them, to a local moving company that is like the premier company, not only in the state but around the country. And they all have something very specific. Over and over I would see this. The companies that succeed long-term have one particular belief about mistakes that changes everything, and that is, mistakes are tuition towards your education and a form of accelerated learning. Now, this is so uncommon. I was in a room full of entrepreneurs doing a course, and I gave everybody a 3x5 card, and it was all anonymous. I said, I want you to write down the thing that stops you the most in business, and then just hand them in. And so I gathered my pile to take back to my office and explore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to tell you, these were top-notch entrepreneurs. When we did the networking portion where everybody would stand up and say who they were, it was mesmerizing. You know how sometimes it's just like, wah, wah, wah,
yeah,
the next person, and your eyes glaze over? Not this group. This group was sharp, and everybody knew how to do it. They were, these were really great people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I got back to my office and I'm looking at the 3x5 cards, the things that it said were things like, I made a horrible mistake and now I'm afraid to take a risk. You know, it was over and over again, came down to, I don't want failure again, or I'm terrified of what might happen. Like, it was that feeling of mistakes are bad, to be hated, hidden, and avoided at all costs. And it's true that mistakes are painful, but on the other hand, they're also the best learning you can have. It was, let's see if I could, Jack Welch.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Welch,
yeah.
In his book Winning, he talks about how, as an early executive, he made a mistake that caused one of their buildings to blow up.
Oh, my.
It was a chemical thing, and whatever, it was his responsibility, and the building blew up, and he was getting ready to be fired, or he had his resignation letter ready, and he went to turn it in, and his boss looked at me and said, we just invested $1 million in you. Do you think we would let you go at this point? So, yes, they're bad, and that you have to pay for those consequences, and he wouldn't do that again. We won't do that again. But you learn what you will do. And companies like Google will actually give you a poor performance review if you don't make a mistake within a 30-day period, because they feel like you're not stretching, you're not taking the risks necessary to be innovative.
Right.
So mistakes are tuition toward your education.
I love that.
And so in the moment you make the mistake, when you feel it in your stomach or you feel it in your throat, you know, we tighten our chest or you feel the temple pulsing, take a breath. And in that moment, you're going to have a message come to you that you probably learned when you were about 4 years old, when you made a mistake. Maybe it was a teacher who yelled at you. Maybe it was a punishment you got. Mm-hmm. We need to rewrite that in the moment. When you hear it, say, oh, there's tuition. Oh, blipping the radar. Well, what did I learn from that? So I won't do that again. Mm-hmm. And we start talking to ourselves. There's a shift in the way we typically talk to ourselves that makes you much more resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of I'm bad or that was stupid or whatever, the negative self-talk is it's tuition towards education.
Yes, and you know, when you hear yourself do the negative self-talk, I have a colleague who always says, I'm such an idiot. Mm-hmm. And I always catch her on that and say, delete.
Yeah.
Just hit the backspace key on that one, because there's another more resourceful way to look at it. It's like, what did I learn? And what will I make? Now that I see the results of this, how much more compassionate can I be when somebody else makes a mistake?
Mm.
And how can I mentor in such a way that the people under me that I'm trying to delegate down to can rise up without fear?
Mm-hmm. Or what can I model, with parents who have children and even if they have a young staff, it's what can I model so that they see how I deal with mistakes?
Ooh, and now you just brought me into a juicy topic that I'm going to take us on a tangent
if you don't mind.
I know a lot of us are hiring young people, mm-hmm. and there was a research done on, when you put boys and girls into elementary school math, what generally happens is the girls do very well. Developmentally, they just do very well
mm-hmm.
early.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys struggle and make mistakes and keep persevere. And they don't like math so much then, but they persevere. And then when they get into the middle school and high school years, math becomes, the boys developmentally grow and they're able to do the math. The girls are able to do the math, but the math gets harder.
Right.
And now these girls who had an easy time up till now, all of a sudden, they make mistakes and have to struggle. When researchers did experiments to recreate that and they interviewed the kids,
mm-hmm.
what they found is that the boys had become resilient mm-hmm. toward failure and persevering. The girls saw mistakes as a sign that they've fallen off the pedestal and they would want to avoid it. So they became adverse to math, and a lot in the education system is trying to counteract that now
mm-hmm.
so that the effort is not, that the credit is not on the grade. Oh, look, you got an A, you're so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, you persevered, you're so smart. It's smart doesn't mean easy. Smart means perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
And in business, a smart business person is not the business person who has the luck of, the leprechaun's luck, with the, I don't know what you want to call it. It's the person who can fail and try and fail and adjust and fail and move forward. And think of failing forward is actually a phrase. It's
right.
moving you in the right direction.
Well, it's funny because people will say, well, how did you know that? You're so wise. And, I have some of my clients that tell me that, and it's like, okay, made the mistake. Done that.
Exactly.
Now I can tell you how to avoid it.
Right. That's what they say, a messenger, there's a mess in every messenger that we've been through it.
I like that. I'm going to have to use that. There's every mess in every messenger. I like that. I'm going to use that one. So, Marilyn, tell us the most common way entrepreneurs, in your opinion, sabotage their success and what can be done about that.
Okay, yeah, this is a big one, and it hits all of us, because to succeed, the skills that took you here are not the skills that are going to take you there necessarily.
Mm.
Sometimes if you're a business owner and you're so passionate about your product or the creation of your product or the creation of whatever it is you're passionate about, that's different than now managing people, or that's different than now creating thrilled customers who you can, when they're upset, you know how to magically turn them into happy campers. It's a different skill set to manage that next step of growth. And what happens is we feel fear.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't say, oh, I'm not afraid. You might call it angst. You might call it tension. But what it is in your body, it feels the same way that you felt when you were a kid taking a risk and you fell down and you scraped your knees and it felt like danger. If you know you have to ride that bike across the gravel, that feels like danger because you scraped your knees, or you touched the hot stove, it burned your hand. Fear feels like danger. And so this is the weird thing. When you're about to grow, when you're about to reach into the next big level, you feel fear, and it feels exactly like the fear of danger. But it's a whole different kind of fear. There's either fear that leads to danger, or there's fear that leads to growth. So taking a moment, this is the subtle shift. In the moment you notice the fear, stop, ask yourself, is this fear leading to danger? And usually you'll say, no, it's a growth opportunity. And your whole body changes. Just in saying that, you release yourself from danger, because your body chemistry is reacting, it's a chemical machine. Your body's a chemical machine. And so when you are able to redirect it in that question, now you're flooded with, rather than fear, that fear turns into energy, fuel. And, you know, if you think about clammy hands, you know, that tingling sensation of fear. Mm-hmm. Now think about excitement. You get clammy hands and a tingling feel. It's the same thing, just redirected.
Wow.
I coached a woman who was doing an international, she called it voluntourism. And she was leading a big group. She made so much money for this wonderful orphanage, but she was gripped with fear about taking this on. And we had a session where she literally asked herself a couple of questions. We explored the belief. Is this, if this fear were here to help you, what would it be here to help you understand? And she said, oh, it's here to help me understand how important this is and how much I want it. And then she literally, in that moment, was able to say, this isn't fear, this is fuel. This is fuel because I'm so excited. And she had the most successful event that came from that moment of inquiry inside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. And it seems so simple, but so effective to just just shift the way you're thinking about it, right?
It truly is a shift. It's not a change. You know, people don't generally like to change.
Mm-hmm, right.
But here's a formula I learned from my mentor many years ago, and I use it often, is E plus R equals O. E is the events that happen, you know, the opportunity for growth, the, you know, an employee who's not doing things as well as you'd like to and you have to give them some negative feedback. Maybe it's you need funding and you're not sure where that money's coming from. The event happens. R is your response, and O is the outcome. Now, it looks like you're driving and you have a flat tire. That's the event. The outcome is you're going to be late for your meeting. Mm-hmm. And your response has nothing to do with it. You're at the mercy of circumstance. And when the truth is if life throws a two at you and you throw a two back, you add that together, you're going to get four every time. And if you really want a five, you've got to change your response to a three. Now 2 + 3 = 5. So where can you change? Your power is in the way you respond to whatever happens. It's your point of power. It's your point of choice. So rather than react, if we take a moment and respond, shift from react to respond, you put yourself in a different part of your brain. When we are afraid, when we're stressed, your chemicals like cortisol go pumping through your system, which, you know, cortisol causes weight gain, but it also causes, it's a stress hormone that goes through your body and puts you in that deer in the headlights, fight, flight, or freeze.
Right.
We don't make our best decisions from there.
Mm.
And something as simple, going back to self-care a little bit, I talked with, for one of my clients, I do podcasts, and I talked to a doctor who said, if you literally take deep breaths for the count of 5 in, hold, and breathe slowly out, if you do that for 5 minutes, you change your biochemistry and put yourself into rest and repair rather than fight or flight. And so if you have a big decision to make and you're feeling very stressed, close the door, set the timer, and breathe. Literally breathe yourself into a state of calm.
Oh, great, great advice. Now, you also talk about a powerful way to turn a really tough customer and disengaged employees into happy, vocal advocates. Tell us about turning tough customers into vocal advocates.
Okay, and this is a great one, because when you can turn a tough customer into a vocal advocate, your regular customers are going to be beyond thrilled with you. It becomes your natural way of doing business, and this gets you the happy side effects of doing things right is higher profits, loyal customers, and wonderful word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. It's a shift in the way you listen. And I'll tell you, when I say that, I can't tell you how many people I've seen just kind of roll their eyes. And one in particular was a man, he's given me permission to share his stuff. Mm-hmm. His name is Michael McDonald. He was at Ford Motor Company when I was doing a workshop, and I was saying a subtle shift is differently. And he not only rolled his eyes, but he crossed his arms, and he just made that, you know, that sound with his mouth. Here we go.
Yeah.
Listening. I know how to listen. And but through that hour session, we did some activities around listening, and really, you know, listen before you talk. Really listen to what the customer has to say, as if it's a gift, as if a complaint is a gift, as if what your employee is saying, even though you think you're right and you think he's wrong, but you fully listen, you change the dynamic. And he listened with the attitude of, oh God, that's so simple, that's just so baby, I learned that in kindergarten, leave me alone. And he went home that night, and his 16-year-old daughter had asked to borrow the car. He gave her the keys. She was going off to a school swim meet. And I guess it was 20 minutes later the phone rang. And he just had, you know, a funny feeling. And sure enough, it was the police. She'd been in a terrible accident. She had totaled the car. His heart was in his throat. And then luckily, thank goodness, nobody was hurt.
Oh.
It was her fault, though, and she got a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So now he went from, you know, terrible fear to incredible rage.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in the car. He's thinking of all the things he's going to tell her. I'm going to tell her she's got to be more responsible. I'm going to be telling this girl what, you know, with a ticket that's going to cost money, our insurance is going to go up, and I'm not paying for it. Like, he's thinking of all the things he's going to tell her. She's got people's lives in her hand. And then he said, I just, you know, in his mind, he literally says, she's got to learn to listen. And it hit him. Oh, crap. There's that listen thing. And so he's, you know, he was really confronted. He said, it was that day. We had just had that session.
Oh, my goodness.
So he thought, okay, he sat in the car before he went to go get her. And he's like, okay, I know myself. I tend to go in there telling everybody what they should do. At work, I tell everybody what they should do. I know better. And I'm going to do it different. I'm just going to go in there and listen, because what the heck, you know, what I'm doing isn't working. So he went in there, and she starts crying the moment she sees him, because, of course, you know, she's expecting the whole wrath of Dad. And he doesn't. He doesn't say a word. He just holds her, lets her cry, comforts her. And then a weird, weird thing happened. Because he wasn't doing the talking and the advice giving and the, you know, mm-hmm. all of the words he'd normally say there, telling her what she did wrong. She started talking, and she said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I should have been more careful. You should see the car. I could have hurt somebody, and I need to pay more attention. And then the big one, she said, Dad, I'm going to pay for this. You shouldn't have to pay for my mistakes. Holy cow! And Michael, he heard this, and he thought, oh, my. He said he literally felt like he'd been punched in the gut, because it's like, How many times have I interfered with that? You know, that his style was, he's a direct style. He's bold, he's fast, he makes a decision, he knows what's right, and you know, that's that personality. And he got in that moment what I meant when I said, listen before you talk, in a huge way. And so, interesting enough, I called him a few months later and I asked him how things were going. He said, you know, my daughter has become the most responsible kid, and I really think it's because of the way I listened. Mm-hmm. And he's also been much more of a listening manager, mm-hmm. listening his staff into their solutions as opposed to him telling them what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, when you tell a staff person what they should do, you disempower them.
Right.
When you ask, what do you think we should do? They generally, if you give them an opportunity to act as if they were in charge, they generally come up with the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge thing to be, if, especially if you're tell-centric, where you like to just tell people and move on,
mm-hmm.
to take the moment to be ask-centric a bit more, or at least listen before you give them that piece to see if they might already have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most powerful ways to hear what the customers are really experiencing, to hear what your staff is really thinking about their job. Like if you were to walk through the company, your company, as if you were somebody you were going to hire and had no ties to this company, how would they feel walking through those doors? How would they feel doing being an employee of your company?
Mm-hmm.
When you literally listened them into your mindset, it reveals so much.
You know, an interesting thing too that you said earlier, Marilyn, was the gentleman that you were just talking about, events plus response equals outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so he initially, event plus reaction, he initially reacted, but then he responded in a way that was more in alignment with the outcome that he wanted, which
mm-hmm.
which he got because he changed his response to that event.
And what's wonderful about that is a lot of us think that if we think it, it's true. If we think it, it's the thing we have to say. I heard one person tell me, I've never had a thought I didn't say out loud. And what you can do is you're in the middle of a conflict and it's time to do something. You can pause.
Mm-hmm.
You can don't just do something. Stand there for a moment. Stand there for a moment and choose your response. Because when you make conscious responses, your results shift and you get more outcomes than you want. And one part of the big R, if I could just go off a little bit on a tangent here, because
yeah.
I think it's a powerful learning for any entrepreneur, is to recognize what I call the customer styles. Because we all have customers or clients that we deal with. And responding to the style as opposed to treating all customers the way you would want to be treated.
Right.
You know, that, they say that's the golden rule. But, you know, if you think about it, the kind of music you like to hear might not be like the kind of music your customer might want to hear. If you're like me in your 50s and the music you play and your customers are 20, then really uncomfortable. I hate that music.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of food you like to eat might not be the kind of food they like to eat. So it's not treat them the way you want to be treated. It's treat them the way they want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, can I just go off on the four styles real quick?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're going to find that you're going to have four basic styles of customers. Your direct style, that we call them drivers. They are very, very serious. They tend to be serious. They know what they want. They tell it like it is. They could come across as brash. Your staff may have trouble with them thinking they're being rude.
Mm-hmm.
They're not rude. They just know what they want.
Right.
And so their big thing is they the thing they that stresses the driver out more than any other kind of thing is loss of control.
Mm-hmm.
So when they have to wait, that's a loss of control. And so as much as you can, give them control when there is no control. You know, you could say, if you have to say, no, we don't have that, you could say, here's what we do have. You could choose this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving them some control when there seems to be no control.
Mm-hmm.
The next type is the polar opposite, and that's the amiable customer. they ask a lot of questions. They want to know that you're happy, just like they want to be happy, but they want you to be happy too. Mm-hmm. They're real people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that could be perceived as, oh, they're wishy-washy. They're asking all these questions. You know, can't
they're
we get to the point?
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to cut to the chase. Like I had one entrepreneur say to me, no wonder my client hung up on me. Mm-hmm. And I said, what did you say to her? She said, I said, can you get to the point so I can get this handled for you?
Well, that was like, rude, right? That's probably what they thought, yeah.
Yeah, the amiable, but here's the truth. The truth is that direct guy was or woman was just really, really valuing her time,
right.
Valuing the time. But now our customers are not responsible for knowing our style.
Right.
We are responsible for knowing theirs.
So
they give us
a lot of questions. How do you handle them?
When a customer asks a lot of questions, it's not because they doubt you or they don't believe you or that they want to stress you. They ask them a lot of questions because they're trying to comfort themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a stretch financially for them to work with you. So they're trying to comfort themselves that this is really a good idea. So they're asking questions and they need to hear it a few different ways as they're soothing themselves into, yes, I can afford this. Yes, this is the right choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can literally say, this isn't personal and it's okay for her to have a style different than mine, then you'll be listening with different ears.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to, because we tend to get annoyed, like, don't they just trust me? Can't they just make a decision?
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm going to honor this person's way. It's perfectly fine.
What are the other two styles?
Just real quick, the other two is the analytical, the crossing the T's, the dot and the I's, and their biggest stressor is getting things wrong. And because of that, let's say you need to make a new appointment for them. They're standing right in front of you. If you were to say, let's talk next Tuesday at noon, you're going to stress that person out unless they have their calendar with them. Because they don't want to get it wrong and find out, I have to change this because they just got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So for that customer, you'd say, you know, when you get back to your office, I'll give you a call and we'll set it up with when you have your calendar in front of you. They will love you for that.
Mm-hmm.
They will be a loyal fan because you get their need for accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
You give them the facts. You give them the statistics. They need that.
Mm-hmm.
And then their polar opposite is the expressive personalities. And I worked with a librarian who the director of the library is an expressive personality. It was not a quiet library.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
expressives like to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
They like to have it, you know, they are the party people, the life of the party, and they tend to have a tribe. If you get annoyed with the tangents they take you on and they see that you're annoyed, their biggest stressor is rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So if they feel rejected, not only do they leave, but their tribe leaves too.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talked about the shift being to listen, now combine that with the E plus R equals O, listen and choose your response based on what you're identifying as their style.
Perfect.
If they talk quickly, you know, that means they want to get to the point and get done.
Mm-hmm.
Do that for them. If they want to talk about their kids, you could soothe yourself internally as you do that and get a different outcome than you otherwise would.
Perfect. Wonderful. Now, Marilyn, you also have a special gift for everyone.
I do.
And it's a bonus gift. And do you want to tell us about it? It's solving the life balance mystery. Is that it?
It is. It's a one-hour MP3 audio program. It was recorded at Pfizer Corporation, where I did a training for their leadership team, and it gives you many tips, many shifts you can make to create more life balance, to create more space in a 24-hour day, so that you can actually have that sense of self-fulfillment instead of that sense of stress when you go to bed at night.
Wow. That's wonderful. Now they can pick it up, and it's free. It's complimentary. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a gift for your people, and they can get it on my I have a special bonus gift page. So if they go to MarilynSuttle.com/bonus_gift.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to spell that for everybody. It's Marilyn, MarilyN, then Suttle, SUTTLE.com /bonus_gift.
That's right.
Wonderful. Any other, just one last subtle shift that people can do every day that you have found just incredibly important in your own life as an entrepreneur?
Yes. So I've been in business 20 years now, and going through the ups and downs of the economy and all of the changes that happen, my way of restoring myself when I'm feeling stressed or when I have a big decision to make and I'm feeling tense is to look around the room you're in and try to find five things you're grateful for. And you'd be surprised how simple that little process can turn your mood around and put you in a resourceful. It's all about being resourceful in business. And so what you end up doing is you look at the picture from the vacation thinking, wow, this career of mine gave me that trip with my family. Mm-hmm. Or you look at your vision board and you go, look, that's what I can create because I'm in a country where my dreams can turn into reality. Or you look around and you see your favorite, like I'm looking at my candle flame thinking, wow, that's my personality right there it is. You know, and you do that and you start to realize that this big thing that seems huge will be absolutely nothing 2 weeks from now. It'll be done. And in this moment, there's so much to be grateful for.
Great advice. Marilyn, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Business Accelerator call for the Success Circle. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Lisa.
And I want to thank everyone. And before we go, I also wanted to wish everyone a very, very happy and festive holiday season. I am so looking forward to 2014 because, like Marilyn Settle, who's the best-selling author, co-author of Who's Your Gladys, and you can learn more about Marilyn, again, at marilynsuttle.com, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, Suttle, S-U-T-T-L-E.com. And, but we also have some amazing people coming on in 2014, and I'm, like, so excited because we're going to have Annie Jennings from Annie Jennings PR talking about PR secrets. She is world-renowned, fabulous. She also helped with my bestseller launch, and she's absolutely fabulous. Her business model is very different from most PR business models. She's a pay-for-placement, meaning she guarantees that you'll get on TV and radio. Fabulous. I mean, she's a brilliant woman. She's going to be on in January. We've got Dr. Liz Anderson-Peacock, who is a small business owner, world-renowned chiropractor, going to talk about empowerment in teams. So as you build your team of people, whether it is employees, whether it is people that independent contractors, however you build your team, you definitely want to tap into that Business Accelerator call. Very, very excited. Joel Comm, who is the New York Times best-selling author of Twitter Power 2.0, is going to be with us next year talking all about Twitter Power, which is going to be really cool. And Karen Russo, who's going to talk about the Money Keys. And she has a specific beliefs and specific processes around money and the spirituality of money too. So it's really, really unique topics that I'm incredibly excited about, and also incredibly excited that Marilyn also came on today's call. So again, Marilyn, thank you so much for coming today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to hearing all those wonderful speakers that you've got such great, great content that you're giving to all your people, and not surprised that you're getting these wonderful speakers to come in and talk for you.
Well, thank you, and certainly you're one of them, and love your book. Where can people get Who's Your Gladys?
Any bookseller. You can go onto Amazon, and we even have it in Chinese.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you. And I want to thank everybody. Again, have a really abundantly glorious holiday season. And we will see you in 2014. I can't believe it. Or on the Get Your Goals in Gear webinar. So if you haven't registered, make sure that you do register. And, again, for Success Circle members, make sure you use the code SC benefit to get that, to get in the webinar for free, so which is a really cool benefit for being a Success Circle member. So again, thank you all for coming, and until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.